25 states suing the Trump administration over forced labor tariffs is, from a constitutional law standpoint, one of the more substantive legal challenges the administration has faced this year. The forced labor tariff mechanism, essentially applying additional duties on goods produced with forced labor, sounds uncontroversial in principle. The legal challenge isn't about whether forced labor is bad, it's about whether the executive branch has the statutory authority to impose these specific tariffs through this specific mechanism, and whether the process for determining what counts as forced labor has the procedural safeguards that trade law requires.
25 states is a significant coalition. That's exactly half the country by state count, and these lawsuits tend to consolidate quickly into a single federal case. The commerce and foreign policy implications are substantial. If the court enjoins these tariffs, it affects supply chains touching electronics, solar panels, agricultural inputs, and apparel, all sectors where forced labor designations are active and contested. The business community has been quietly watching this case because the tariff mechanism, if it holds, creates enormous compliance uncertainty for importers.
While we're on the legal and oversight front, the Ilhan Omar town hall incident is something that deserves more attention than it's getting. An undercover Homeland Security Investigations agent was found outside her constituent meeting in Minnesota. Omar is demanding answers about why a federal law enforcement officer was conducting surveillance at a sitting member of Congress's public event. The distinction between HSI running a legitimate investigation that happened to intersect with the town hall location versus a targeted surveillance operation directed at a political figure is enormously consequential, and so far, the administration hasn't provided a clear answer.
The McConnell transparency situation adds another layer to the oversight picture. His chief of staff has maintained total silence as questions about McConnell's capacity and who is actually making decisions in his office have grown louder. McConnell has had significant health events over the past few years, and the opacity around his office's operations is becoming a real governance question, not just a political one. When a senator's staff refuses to engage with basic transparency requests, that's a problem that affects constituents directly.
On the fracturing right, Marjorie Taylor Greene publicly denying that either she or Tucker Carlson plans to run for president is interesting primarily for what it confirms. There is an active movement being built involving those two, plus Thomas Massie, that is positioning itself outside the mainstream Republican Party structure. Greene's denial of a presidential run might be entirely sincere, but the fact that the denial was necessary suggests the movement has enough visible momentum that speculation is credible.
The polling data cuts against the political narratives in two directions simultaneously today. Trump's claim that minority voters are flocking to the GOP is contradicted by current polling. And on the Democratic side, Kamala Harris leading the 2028 primary field at 37% in Rasmussen's polling is almost certainly a function of name recognition rather than enthusiasm. The same survey apparently shows major Democratic donors actively refusing to back her again. A frontrunner who can't raise money is a frontrunner in name only. The El Sayed situation in Michigan adds another dimension. He won the Democratic Senate nomination on a Medicare for All platform and then acknowledged on national television that it requires broad tax increases across all income levels, not just on billionaires. That's either admirable honesty or a general election liability, probably both.
Lauren Boebert's son's arrest on child exploitation charges is a story we're mentioning because it's in the news and affects a sitting congresswoman's political position. But we're going to treat it with the appropriate restraint. The legal process needs to play out, and the charges involve serious allegations against an individual who is not himself a public official.
The broader GOP Senate picture, prediction markets showing the Republican edge narrowing ahead of November midterms, the Harris Save Act video going viral as the bill stalls, suggests the political environment is genuinely competitive in a way that wasn't clear 3 months ago. The Never Vance faction with Rubio leading 2028 GOP polling is a story about intra-party positioning that will become more relevant after November results.
And the Trump inflation chart story is worth flagging specifically because of the mechanism. The chart apparently freezes his cumulative inflation rate at 18 months into his term, then projects that flat line forward through month 48, as if prices simply stop rising. It's a visualization technique that misrepresents compounding price changes in a way that looks authoritative to anyone who doesn't read the axis carefully. We flagged a similar data presentation issue a few weeks back, and the pattern of statistical presentation matters as a habit.